But you know, one of the I might be able to I'll probably bring this up. You know, the importance of things like Sunday school. On our Wednesday night, I want to encourage you about Wednesday night. Listen, folks, we're not doing calisthenics. I know you've been working all day, but you get to sit. You can spread out big time. I've been preaching on Wednesday night. I used to go through, which I guess kind of preaching. I'd go through verses in the Bible, you know, go through books of the Bible, and you get to preaching along. But I've been doing a preaching on, I guess I'll do my advertisement now. I've been preaching on the revivals in the Old Testament, where there's different revivals in the Old Testament. And we get together and then we pray, and after that, which is important. I mean, praying together as a church, I know we can pray anywhere, we should. We can pray everywhere, we should, but there's something to be said for corporate prayer when we get together as God's people and mention the request, and then we kind of huddle up and we get you paired up with somebody to pray. But going through and studying the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. So I'll get to a point here in the message this morning. This should come back to your mind right there when I read that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, we've been looking at the temptations of Christ, and today I'm going to preach a little bit more in depth on the third temptation. The Bible says in verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. What a beautiful day you've given to us, and I thank you for the ones that are here today, the crowd that's come out. Lord, saw fit to be in your house today to hear the preaching of the word, and Lord, to be encouraged, and you know every need. Lord, I pray for each need to be met. I pray for that one that may be here, not sure about their salvation. Maybe it's not real to them yet. Lord, I pray that today will be the day they give their heart and life to you, Lord, and be saved. I pray for those ones who watch on Facebook, and we encourage them, and we appreciate them as well. We're aware. We can see who's watching. We know you're there, and we're praying for you as well. Lord, I pray you'll be encouraged. Lord, and if you're lost, that you see your need, you can pray right there in your house and ask the Lord to come into your heart, save you, ask for forgiveness of your sins, Lord, and have eternal life. What a blessing, Lord, that we're not confined to an area or a place as far as our salvation goes, Lord. But thank you for those here again and for those that have a servant's heart that serve you, Lord, and want to serve you. We're thankful for them today as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'd already preached on this, I had one whole message on just the three temptations, and I've been looking at each one a little separately, and we see that Satan was defeated every time. He'd been defeated the first time he came and attacked the physical side of Christ, turned his bread into stone. Turned the stones into bread, and he had been fasting for 40 days. I mean, you know, great temptation. He had the power to do it. But he was Satan was attacking Christ on the physical side of things. And what I want you to also see when we look through this, and I'm sure you understand this, as we see the temptations of Christ, believe me, they're not going to be any different for you and I. That's why we're doing this study right here, that Satan's going to attack us or tempt us in the same way that he did Christ. And so that's the lesson for us. And we see how Jesus got the victory over those temptations because he acted in his humanity, not in his divinity. And not as God, but he acted as man so that we would have the example to see how to defeat Satan in temptation. Now, God's order in life is this. This is God's order. Satan always reverses it. Our natural man always reverses it too, and Satan knows it, and that's why he attacks us this way. God's order is this: worship, trust, and bread. Today Satan's wanting worship from Jesus. Last week we looked at the temptation where the basic attack was on, you know, can God be trusted? And then we looked at the temptation against the flesh, putting the desires of the flesh above the will of God. Are we willing to suffer in the will of God to satisfy in lieu of satisfying our flesh, or is it going to be the other way around? Well, when it comes to a discomfort, an uncomfort, or a this fleshly desire when it's in contrast with what God's will is, or if God's will carries us to that place, will we stay that course? And so that's where that temptation was. So God's order has always been worship, trust, and bread. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And so seek ye first. And then he said all these things. He used the word things will be added unto you. He was talking about raiment and food and all those things right there. So God's order is seek ye first the kingdom of God. But when Satan went to attack, he went the reverse way. He attacked him with, he went the bread, trust, and worship last. Why? Because that's the natural man's order. That's the way we have. What do we look out for first? We look out for self first. And then, the second thing is, trust is always in the middle. You know, we're wary about, we know we can trust God. We say that, but when it comes to really trusting him, this is where we get the panic shoe on. We get all in a sweat when we got to really exercise that trust. It's tested all the time. We fail all the time in this area right here. And so we're in the trust area. And then the last thing is the worship. You know, when we get down to real worship, I want you, you'll see a little bit later, but with worshiping God, I'm going to tell you something. Serving God and worshiping God are so closely connected that you cannot separate them. Huh? You cannot separate worship from service. And we'll see it, you know, when we get down here a little bit deeper in the message. And so, Satan's attack was a call to feed the physical life. He tried to break down trust in God, in Jesus' case, God the Father. And then the next one is to divert our worship from true to false. It doesn't matter how he does it. You can worship yourself. You can worship material things. And then if you're going to be a little more religious, and I don't like the term religious, but this fits. If you're going to be a little more religious, he'll attack you on the front of false religions, cults. He'll get you side. If he gets you side, he doesn't care what he does. You can go worship all you want, anything else other than Christ. That's how Satan will operate. So whatever it takes, there's not one set cookie cutter mode. The theory is the same, but how he actually does it is going to be completely different. And so now we see Satan as he attempts to attack Jesus in this sphere of his mission. His mission. Now Satan, now said this a couple weeks back, everything's usually veiled. It's sleight of hand. He looks like he's just something simple. He's attacking this area right here, but there's another motive. There's a motive that's down there deeper right there. And so it looks like, and we're going to see that, you know, he said, listen, if you fall down and worship me, all these kingdoms of the world, I'll give them to you. He looks like that's what he wants. He does want worship, but why does he want worship from Jesus? Because then that'll mess his mission up of going to the cross. That's the mission. So that's really his whole desire is to, even from before Christ came, trying to mess up the line of Christ before he ever came to the earth. Then when he came, you know, tried to be killed. Herod killed all the babies after the birth of Christ, trying to kill the Messiah at his birth. Everything was geared up towards stopping Christ from getting to the cross for man's redemption. And so, but now he comes to Jesus and in the spirit, and he says to Jesus, he said, if that will fall down and worship me. I mean, he really wanted that. He's kind of, the disguise is kind of coming off. He's still slick, though. He's still slick. He didn't put everything in there. He didn't tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He left some stuff off. We'll get to it in a minute. But his desire was that he wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him. And he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, which Jesus was going to have all the kingdoms of the world because he is the king. All the kingdoms were going to be there, but he wasn't going to be able to bypass the cross to get them. And that's really what Satan was saying. Listen, you can get these. What a temptation. I mean, because Christ knew what lie ahead in a way, because he was man and God. And so in his deity, he knew. And he probably couldn't separate that in a sense from his mind in the humanity side of things. He knew about the scourge. He knew about the cross. He knew about the sins of the world being placed on his body. Here's a temptation to have all the kingdoms of the world thrown at his feet by bypassing the cross. That would be a strong temptation to avoid this suffering to get the glory. But you know what? With God, you can't do it. You can't do it either. You, the proverbial you, you cannot get the glory without the cross. You know, you've got to get to the cross. Self's got to be crucified to get to glory. That's just the way it is, you know. And so we'll see that. So only really, I have 2 points with 15 subpoints under each one. No, I'm just kidding. I've got two points. And I want to talk about this morning. We'll look at this just a little bit closer. Number one, we'll see this proposal of Satan, the proposal of Satan. As I said already, he failed in his attempt to ruin the man. He tried to ruin the man. In other words, make him unfit to be, the sinless, you know, Lamb of God, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He tried to get him to go against God's will. That's sin. See, you know, as we look at, we're always looking at these big things, man, killing somebody, you know, adultery, murder, stealing, lying, you know, we can go up and down the list. We're always looking at that. But going against God's will is sin. I don't care what level it is, it's sin. And Jesus couldn't sin, or he couldn't be the Savior of the world. And God had last said 3 weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit of God had led Jesus into the wilderness and led him into the point of fasting, which that meant that the fasting and then the hunger that came from that was God's will. And if he had fulfilled or taken away the hunger by going against God's will, that would have been sin. And now he couldn't be the Savior of the world. So Satan tried to ruin the man. Listen, it's not any different today. He tries to ruin men. And I'm going to tell you what, you get saved and you get the Holy Spirit and all that, and you're saved and you know it, you got the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's still trying to ruin you to get you to where you can't or not fit for service to God. You're not fit. And there's a lot of people serving God all over the world that's not fit to be serving God because of unrepented of and unconfessed sin in their life. I'm not talking about when you get, you know, you confess and you sin. Nobody's perfect, but in Christ's case, to be the Savior, I mean, he could have had no sin. He had to be spotless, and that was what his attempt was, to ruin. Now, he failed, of course. Thank God for that. Thank God Jesus didn't make those stones into bread, huh? And thank God he didn't waver on his trust in God. And now he sets out to ruin the purpose, the plan of God. He can mess up the plan of God. Satan doesn't care. Whatever works. Ruin you, ruin the plan, get you sidetracked, whatever. It doesn't matter how, as long as it doesn't get done. That's what matters to him. It's not a failure to him. And the purpose was the saving of souls, the redemption of man, the giving of eternal life, God redeeming a people to himself. Satan's trying to stop this plan that God has. And in verse 8 says that Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and it says, and the glory of them. The glory of the kingdoms. That's, you know, you can dig way down in the glory of the kingdoms of the world, the majesty, the buildings, the wealth, the power, the, you know, just the strength of kingdoms. And maybe even also the created beauty of what those kingdoms entailed there, you know, contained within them. He showed them all the kingdoms of the world. And you think, well, you know, that somehow, and I thought about this, somehow Satan had the power. Satan's powerful. Satan had the power to give Jesus a vision of all the kingdoms of the world, even from this high place. I mean, we know physically from that one spot he couldn't see all the kingdoms of the world. But there was a way that Satan was able to give him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world. You know, Satan, man, boy, he can transform himself into an angel of light, the Bible says. He can make something look like gold and it's not gold. He can make it look shiny, look like fun. Look good, and it's not good. It's not gold. It's not going to be fun in the long run. It'll be fun in the short run, but not. He can do that. He can do it to you. If he can do it to Christ, if he can show Christ, he can show it to you. He can give you that vision right there somehow in the power that he has. Now, here's a deep point. This is a deep point. Satan's estimate of the worth of Christ, the estimate of the worth of Christ. What Satan thought Christ was worth. This is key. A big thing. He would give all the kingdoms of the world to capture the soul of Christ. He would give all the kingdoms of the world in his mind. In Satan, Jesus was to Satan worth more than anything in the world. Now, one thing, Satan will offer you anything that he thinks he can tempt you with to capture your soul. Now, if you're saved, well, I know he can't get your soul. But boy, he can sure make wreak havoc on your life, and he can get your testimony like that, which renders you useless in the service of God. Actually, not only does it render you useless in the service of God, you become a detriment to the kingdom of God. A negative testimony is a detriment to the kingdom of God. Don't never think that your sin only affects your relationship with God. It also may affect other people's relationship with God. And so, but here's Satan, back to what I was talking about. Jesus was worth more than anything in the world. I'll give you everything you can see. All the kingdom in the world, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll capture your soul for all the kingdoms in the world. You know what? That Satan places more value on Jesus than most people in churches claiming to be saved. Do you understand that? All the kingdoms of the world. Listen, man, we won't give up our time, our tithe, our Sundays, our sports, our sin, our picnics, our inconvenience, our comfort for Christ. And Satan said, I'll give all the kingdoms of the world for him. He places more worth on Jesus than a whole lot of people that are professing to be saved. Yeah, huh? That's scary right there. In Luke's account, it says that Satan showed Jesus these kingdoms in a moment of time, which that means pretty quick. I read one Bible commentator said Satan was a coward. He was afraid that if Jesus lingered long enough looking at the kingdoms, he would discover their worthlessness. The worthlessness of those kingdoms if he lingered long enough. Satan's offer was actually an insult. Jesus saw already more than Satan knew that he saw. He saw more than the devil knew. All the world's for Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't give you $15 for all the world right now the way it is. Huh? We look around at what's going on in the world today in the sight of God. I was thinking before I come in the door, I was just staring off into the distance, you know, had that fixed stare looking out there before I walked in just a few minutes ago before we come back in here to get ready. And I was thinking this thought, I wonder what God thinks about everything that's going on in the world today. What does God think about this? All this world with all the... This world has enthroned material things, embraced immorality, sex, dope, alcohol, nudity, promiscuity, perverseness. This is what this world is. This was full of it. So Satan's going to give all of that. For Jesus, it was a low, you know that old saying, somebody says, well, go ahead and make me an offer, and you don't want to, you know, you want to get it as low as you can get it, but you don't want to insult the person by offering too low. Satan offered too low. It was really, but not in the world's minds, because see, we're back to the physical, they're the material, you know, we're looking at that. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, preacher, you preaching that's work salvation? No, I'm not. I'm preaching that when you are saved and it's real, you're going to be doing the will of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Mark 8, 36 and 37 said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? If we opened hell today and ask every person that's been there for 1 second, what would you give in exchange for your soul? You know what their answer is? All the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world, I'd give it for my soul right now. Oh, Satan's slick. Jesus, he's smarter than Satan. He's smarter than Satan. What's holding you back if you're not saved here watching? What's holding you back from being saved? What's keeping you from rejecting your sin or repenting from your sin? And is it worth it? Jesus didn't think so. Nobody in hell today thinks so. Nobody. And there's millions. They don't think so. And even Satan knows it's not worth it. That's why he only showed him the kingdoms in a moment's time. Just fast. Don't linger there. Don't think. Satan doesn't want you thinking. And we're good at it. At not thinking. We're good at it. We don't want to have to do a lot of thinking. People don't sit around and think. I've said this over the years ago. People sit on their front porch, man. You know, the big event was when a car came by. You know, that's three today, isn't it, Walter? Yeah. So, you know, what we sat on the porch, you know what you were doing back then? Didn't have, a lot of people then days didn't even have TVs. Or if they had them, they didn't have nothing on them. They ain't nothing on them now. I got more channels than ever, and there's less on when I had three channels, I had better options. But they sit around and you think. And eventually you're going to start thinking about eternity. You're going to start thinking about God, and you're going to start thinking about your sin, and you're going to start thinking about being saved. And now our minds are so cluttered up. The world's running 100 miles an hour, and we're trying to keep up, and we can't think at all, and we don't even want to think. It takes an effort. We want it all done, the easy button, whatever it is. It's just going to make life easy for us. Now here's a question for you. Could Satan do it? Could Satan give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world? Was it within his power to give all the kingdoms of the world? I see some of you going like this. Start doing like this. Yeah. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. He called him the prince. The prince means authority, control, that. This world is largely under his control now. This world is submissive to his sway. This world is obedient to his laws. I'm talking about Satan, not God. This world is being led captive at Satan's will, at his will. This world is being led captive by him. Yeah, he had him. He's the prince. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world. Jesus himself called him that. And listen, Satan is paying his price to those who will serve him. He's paying his price. If Judas desires 30 pieces of silver, Satan will get it for him. On condition. On condition. If men desire power, wealth, kingdoms, Satan will give it. On condition. It's always conditional. If thou will fall down and worship me. If thou will do that. Luke put it this way. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. That's what Satan said. All shall be thine. And that's the key. If the condition. Satan wanted Jesus' worship, and there's a reason for that, and it's something connected with it. He wanted that, his worship, and he wants your worship too. Oh, Not very many people. They got some knuckleheads out there that do this, but there's not very many people. Satan's got more worshipers than you think. And they're not in some middle of the woods in October with some sacrifice laying on the table and all of them wearing robes and got staves and waiting on the full moon. They're not worshiping Satan that literal. But hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. Whose commandments are you keeping? God's or Satan's? Huh? Yeah, he's got his worshipers out there as well. The second point is the purpose of God. We've got the proposal of Satan. They didn't turn my screen on back there. I can't see my own notes. you're messing me up. We've got the proposal of Satan. Now we got the purpose of God. Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan." Get thee hence, Satan. It's the first time that Jesus spoke to the devil in this language. The very first time. This is the voice of authority. No longer a challenge by Jesus, but a command. You know, before, Satan said, "Hey, turn these stones into bread." Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." He quoted the Bible to him. It was a conversation. If you want to call it an argument, we could say that. But he spoke to the devil. This is the first time. Before, he just said, "It's written. This is what the Bible says." Now he gives him a command. He said, "Get thee hence, Satan, behind me." The first time that Jesus named him, he never called him Satan the other two temptations. The first time he named him, he said Satan, which means the slanderer. It's a title. The liar. He calls him out. He calls him out in the open. Get thee hence. He commands him. I'm tell you what, Satan got to do it too. Satan's got to do it. And he said, "It is written." Now listen. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now what does Satan say back in the text? The devil taketh him up into high mountain. Verse 8, exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And then verse 9, and saith to him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Jesus answered him, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." Satan didn't say a thing about serving. Exactly. He didn't tell you everything, does he? Huh? Satan even knows this. And Jesus showed us this by what he said, that worship and service are connected, and they cannot be separated. Man, I'm going to stay home and I'm just going to worship God at home. How are you going to serve him at home? Huh? You can't do nothing for me at home. I mean, you could pray for me, but you can't encourage me because I wouldn't know it. I can't encourage you. You wouldn't know it if I just prayed for you, which I'm not putting any slight on just pray. Praying's powerful. But you wouldn't know it. It doesn't encourage your heart presently. You can't. People want to stay home. "Oh, we're just going to stay home and we're going to watch TV and this." But you're not serving God. There's no service. And worship and service are all. You can't separate the two. Those two things. And so Satan knows that. He knew if he got your worship, he's got your service. Huh? Hey, Judas's condition was he went out and betrayed the Lord, brother. He didn't get them 30 pieces of silver till he did. Huh? That was the condition right there. "Oh, yeah, I'll get them for you." On condition. If. Isn't what Satan said there? He said, he took him up the high mountain and saith to him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down." There's condition there. And Satan didn't ask for this service. But it was a deceitful thing. And as I said, because Satan knew you cannot separate. So, you know, Satan knows more about worshiping God than most Christians know. He knows the theology of things. He knows it. He knew this. But he didn't want. Nobody wants to serve. They don't even want to serve God. Huh? Nobody wants to serve as work, right? I mean, it's like a work word, right? Serve as word. Serve's going to take my time. Serve's going to take an effort. Serve's going to enter. It's going to inconvenience me somehow. He said, well, just fall down and worship me then. He didn't say serve. Jesus knows it. Satan knows it. It's connected to worship. And Satan doesn't want you to know that. It is written. Jesus answered, every time, it is written. The Word of God, the power of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, there's two people that know about the power of the Word of God, Jesus and Satan. They both know. They know about the power and the importance of the Word of God. Do you ever notice this? Did you ever notice when we were going through this study that when, and I wish it was like this in human life, but it's not. That when Satan said, hey, do this, Jesus said, it is written. And he quoted the scripture. And Satan had no second argument. No, he didn't say, but, and, what, well, uh-uh. Victory! Because Satan knows that the Word of God is the truth. It's the power of the Word of God. He knows more than man knows on this earth. Because if you take the Word of God to somebody and somebody says, hey, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And you say, hey, because God's Word says, yeah, but it was written by a man. Satan knows it wasn't. Yeah, well, it's got a lot of errors in it. Satan knows it doesn't. That's the excuses that you get today, even with Christian people. Yeah, but well, preaching, sound like Porky Pig. Always got something else to say. I'm telling you what, it is written shut Satan's mouth. And he was smart enough to know he had no other argument. And he didn't have an argument that he could win. The power of the Word of God. We getting this? Yeah, it's written. The authority of the Word of God. And Jesus spoke in that power and in that authority. You remember when Jesus, in Jesus' day, when he walked after this, and he walked on the earth, it's 3.5 year ministry on the earth, and he'd come up on somebody that was demon-possessed. His disciples didn't really know who Jesus was totally. They didn't know about his deity at a lot of these points. But Jesus come up on a man and full of demons. He come up on one there in the Gadarenes, and the demon said, they looked at Jesus, you know what they said? What hast thou to do with us, thou Son of God? I think they referred to him as Son of the Most Holy or the Most High God. They knew who Jesus was before his disciples knew who he was. They knew that he was the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. They knew it was God incarnate. They knew he was God's Son on his human side. They knew. They called him out, the Most High God, the Son of the Most High God. What hast thou do to me? They even called him Jesus. They knew his name. They know more. The demons know more than this world that we live in knows. They don't know the power of God. They don't understand the power of God, but they knew it. They recognized him, and they called him outright. Now, here's a good lesson. Jesus was familiar with the Scriptures. You say, yeah, well, he was the Word, this and that. Listen, Jesus has been studying the Scriptures since he was a boy in his humanity. They went to temple and they went to synagogue and things like that, and they said the Word of God. And you know what? Every time Satan came up with a temptation, there's a million scriptures. I don't know how many scriptures there are. I'll say a million, loosely. There's a lot. He had the right scripture for the right time, for the right moment. It popped in his head. And Jesus, like I said, he was operating in his humanity, not in his deity. So this means it can be done. What I'm trying to get you to see, the importance of reading your Bible, the importance of studying your Bible, understanding what you read. You know, the Holy Ghost can bring it to our remembrance. He brings it, and I'm not world famous for memorizing, and shame on me. I mean, it's my fault. I mean, I'm not world famous for memorizing. I can remember verses, but maybe not where they're at. I can get most of the verse correct, maybe not where it's at, but verses will come to my mind. But you know, I know people. I know men that have studied the Bible, and they'll quote you the verse, and where it's at in the Bible, and you know, you can apply and because why? Because they practiced that. They did that. They went through that. And so Jesus, he was familiar with the scriptures. So I can't overemphasize the importance of, you know, being in church, one, where we're preaching the Word of God, you know, every service and Wednesday nights even looking at the Word of God. And then your daily Bible reading time yourself. You know, just don't read this to get, well, I'm going to read three chapters today or one chapter. Just don't read your Bible to get through, you know, the chapter. You know, read your Bible to understand. Well, I'd rather have you, and God would probably rather have you, and I don't mean to speak for God in that sense, but I mean, if you could read one or two verses and really meditate and understand those verses. There's no point in reading a verse that you don't understand and blowing past it and going on to understand it. If you don't understand it, call me. Call somebody that can help you. I got resources. I may not know the answer, but I can find out if I can help you with that. You know, anybody can help you. But study it. Make sure you understand what the Bible's saying to you. It's written in there. It's written down for us to understand. And so he understood the word, and he spoke on the authority of this word right here. Satan wanted to divert Jesus from God's intended purpose. Do you know, and I've preached this over the years and told you this, God has a plan for your life, your individual life. Not just our life as humanity or as a whole, but every single person. There's a plan for your life. He told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew thee before I formed thee in the belly. Boy, man, that burns up them abortion, pro-abortion people right there. He said, I knew thee. And so God didn't create us. We're just not a lump of cells like an amoeba, you know, kind of moving around with no purpose and plan. God's got a plan for our life. And a purpose. And what Satan's been doing our whole life is trying to divert us from that plan. I keep thinking back sometimes, you know, you get older and you think, boy, if I had it, I was riding around a lawnmower mowing the other day, thinking time, right? And I was thinking, man, if I had it went down this road, like why I didn't do that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I didn't go into civil service. Both my parents were civil servants. It's a good job, good retirement. All the people I knew that went into civil service when they got out of high school are all retired now, playing golf down in South Carolina. And but, you know, why didn't I do that? Well, partly because I didn't take that route, and if I had, I might not have been in this route. I don't know. I can't. I'm pretty positive that there was a lot of directions in my life I went that God wasn't leading me in that direction. Now, overall, I might have got on God. You know, I got off the track there every now and then, but it looks like I got back on. I wanted to be in radio. I wanted to be a radio disc jockey at one time. Went to the Columbia School of Broadcasting to do an interview. They wouldn't take anybody. You got to go in there and sound like you can do something. And they get you in a booth and they get you to read an advertisement. I had to read the advertisement for the 83 Skylark or something like that, you know, and try to sound like, you know. And the guy said, hey, you did really good. First time, I know you're nervous. He said, we'll take it. And I didn't follow through with that. And I'd have been out there playing the oldies, you know, hey, playing them hits while you're spraying them pits, you know. Anyway, they had a guy on the radio around Manassas, Northern Virginia, Murphy in the Morning. That's what he used to say, playing them hits while you're spraying them pits, you know, as he was on the morning show. But, I mean, why didn't I do that? You know, I mean, if I'd done that, I might not have been a preacher, you know. Why did you go? But you know, you ever wonder about, you know, man, why didn't I do that? And if I knew what I knew now and I got back to there, right there, oh, you know, but the only problem is, I wouldn't know what I know now if I didn't go through what I went through to get to where I am now. You know, part of it, I mean, and turning to God. But God has a plan for our life. And a lot of people aren't seeking that plan for their life. And Satan's doing everything to keep you from finding that plan for your life. And I can simplify it. I don't know about all the details, jobs, where you live, and who your family is, and all that, but I know one thing, if you're a child of God, God's got a commission for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a plan right there, and Satan does all he can to keep us from doing that, and he's pretty effective. He's pretty effective at it. And then he wants our worship and our service, because I said you can't separate them. Now, it'll be disguised. Satan disguises everything. And I'm going to tell you what, if we're worshiping anything other than God, you're pretty much on Satan's plan instead of God's plan. You're worshiping Satan or something that he's diverted you to, which is Satan's will and not God's will, which is sin. And then Satan also attacks the physical life. He attacks us physically with problems and just things in life that he can use, and if he can get us, he doesn't care how. Hey, if he can get you with happiness, he'd get you there, and he does. He gets us with pleasure. He can get us with sorrow. He can get us with prosperity. He can get us with poverty. Doesn't care. He doesn't care how he does. He attacks our physical life. He attacks our spiritual life. When he implied that God couldn't be trusted is an attack on our spiritual life, and we already struggle in there. We're fully trusting God. And then he attacks God's plan and purpose for your life. And the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Satan is willing that all perish and none come to repentance. Exact opposite. He's attacking God's plan and purpose for our life. Who do you want to listen to today? Who do you really want to listen to? You want to follow God's plan? You want to follow Satan's? And if it's not God's plan, I'm going to tell you it's Satan's. Oh, you know, we come up with our own stuff. You can't blame everything on Satan. But he'll help you. He'll help you along the way. Who do you want to listen to? God, if you love me, keep my commandments. Or you want to listen to Satan? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your message. I pray that we're encouraged by it. That we're strengthened by it, Lord, that we understand a little bit more the wiles of the devil, Lord, that we understand what he's up to, even when we can't see it. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Strengthen us, Lord, and we understand you're praying for us as well. Lord, help us to be obedient to you, you only, worship and serve you only. Lord, it's my prayer for that one that might have heard the message today or maybe even hear it later. Lord, that if they see that they're not saved or feel that they're not, Lord, they won't be afraid, Lord, to give their heart and life to you, that they'll just get on their knees somewhere and ask you to forgive them of their sin and come into their life, Lord, and they can have eternal life as well. That's my prayer today, Lord, and now is our invitation time. We're about to start. Lord, I pray that people would come forward, gather around the old altar. Lord, there's plenty to pray about. We got a nation that's crumbling right under our very feet. Lord, we've got leadership that is really following the will of Satan and not the will of God. And we could pray about that. We've got family members that are lost, Lord, that are not trusting you. And we got to take maybe even some of the blame, Lord, for not setting the example for them or talking to them enough about the Lord. And we've just got so many things, Lord, that we can be praying about. Our church, Lord, we're trying to build the churches up. Pastors discouraged everywhere, Lord, and God's people too. And we need to pray, Lord, that we can get through this crisis we've been going through the last year. Lord, get back on track to serving you, trusting you, Lord. So there's plenty of things that we can pray about. So it's my prayer today as we have an invitation, we'll have a good number to pray for it. Get down here and pray. Lift our prayers up together as a church. And if there's anyone here lost, I pray for them to come forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's come down altar and pray.